Well, we've reported here about how the spike in drug overdoses has a terrible, terrible silver lining. Since 2010, organ donations from fatal overdoses are up nationwide. We spoke with the New England Organ Bank. They see an increase of nearly 900%. But how's that playing out? Well, while some families say they find comfort in knowing that a loved one's heart beats on for someone else, organ donation can compound grief. Martha Biebinger from Here and Now contributor WBUR reports.
For more than 24 hours, on the final day of June 2015, Colin LePage rode waves of hope and despair. They began when LePage found his 30-year-old son, Chris, at home in Haverhill, Massachusetts, unconscious after an apparent drug overdose. In a panic, LePage administered the opioid antidote Narcan and CPR, then raced with EMTs to the hospital.
When I first walked into the emergency room, I was getting the impression that my son was already gone. But while we were there in the hospital and they were working on him, is when they told me that they had a heartbeat and they were getting signs.
Signs that Chris's brain might still be alive. Chris, strapped to a gurney, was rushed by helicopter to Boston for more tests. Between efforts to stabilize his son's temperature and blood pressure, a doctor or nurse mentioned to LePage that his son had agreed to be an organ donor.
I want to say there's no urgency or something like, hey, you need to do this. I could see genuine concern and sadness that this had happened, that that was a life that he mattered to someone. It wasn't that, well, we're going to be able to use his organs for someone else.
The next morning, after another round of tests showed no signs of brain activity, LePage said goodbye to the son who'd been revived but was not fully alive.
And I sat in a chair with him and held his hand, and it wasn't clinical. It did not feel like somebody's gaining something here. I knew that someone was, and that's comforting that someone else has been able to have a little piece of my son, and some of their pain is not what it used to be.
Chris's liver is at work now inside a man LePage only knows as David, a 62-year-old pastor. LePage reads the end of a letter sent via the New England Organ Bank.
A part of him now lives in me, and whenever I stand to speak, I say, thank you, Lord, for this family, who I am connected to in a way that is nothing short of a miracle. I pray someday we may meet. God bless you. Sincerely grateful, David. I just haven't had the time to write back to that powerful statement. But I will. I will do that soon.
LePage's experience is happening all too often as patients addicted to heroin or other opioids take too much, stop breathing, and are declared brain dead. In 2010, 1 in 20 organs donated in New England were from an overdose patient.
This year so far, we are at 27%, which represents just over 1 in 4 donors that have died of a drug overdose.
Alexandra Glazier is president and CEO of the New England Organ Bank.
It's remarkable, and it's also tragic. We see this tragedy of the opioid epidemic as having an unexpected life-saving legacy.
At Lahey Hospital and Medical Center in Burlington, Massachusetts, the number of patients receiving a liver transplant has nearly doubled in the last 3 to 4 years. Patients at some hospitals balk at the perceived or real threat from the organs of drug users, but not at Lahey, where Dr. Mohammed Akud is in charge of transplants.
Most of these patients trust the fact that these donors are tested and they understand that their chance of dying while waiting for an organ is high.
Akud says Lahey has not had a case of HIV or hepatitis transmission in recent years. That's the case at Mass General in Boston as well, where Dr. Jay Fishman is associate director of the hospital's transplant center. He says an organ from someone who used drugs is not necessarily risky and may be healthier than other options.
You have to remember that as awful as this outbreak is, these are younger people who are dying often with needles in their arms, and many of them were first-time drug users. They weren't all addicts.
Despite this increase in available organs, there's no sign that supply is keeping up with demand for organs from aging Americans or those with a chronic disease. Dr. David Clausen is chief medical officer at the United Network for Organ Sharing, which tracks and manages organ donations in the U.S.
the number of people on the waiting list is increasing faster than the number of donors, even with the increases related to overdoses.
Family members who've lost someone to an overdose say organ donation is a nearly taboo subject among those affected by addiction. It triggers feelings of guilt, anger, and despair. Debbie Daigle sat next to her son Stephen's unresponsive body for 6 days before agreeing to turn off his respirator.
I laid on top of him all morning before they took him, and I had my head on his heart just so I could hear that beat. And they had to peel me off of him.
More than a year later, Daigle is still haunted by questions. Should she have asked for another opinion about the scans of her son's brain?
Never in a million years do you ever visualize kissing your child whose heart's beating and having to watch them wheel that stretcher away and know they're going to cut him open and take out a beating heart. I mean, you don't think about those things until it happens.
Daigle says she felt like her son died again when the transplant patient who received Stephen's heart did not make it. She's written to the patients who received his liver and kidneys, but has yet to hear from them. For Here and Now, I'm Martha Biebinger in Boston.